Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Tarsus Products Limited, hosted by Edelweiss Finance. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Now, I hand over the conference to Mr. Praveen Sahay from Edelweiss Wealth. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashasri. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Tarsus Products Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. Rohan Sehgal, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO of the company, to discuss the results and to address queries. Now, I hand over the conference to Mr. Rohan Sehgal. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sehgal.
Good afternoon, and a very warm welcome to everyone present on the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call for Tarsus Products Limited. Along with me, Mr. Santosh Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer and Company Secretary for Tarsus Products Limited and SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded our quarterly investor presentation on the stock exchanges and company's websites. I hope all of you had an opportunity to go through the same. Let me begin with the industry opportunities, followed by our performance and highlights for the first half of FY23. The life science industry is fast evolving, and we see enhanced demand for our products. Healthcare services and pharmaceutical market is growing due to improving healthcare infrastructure, which is driving the labware market. The growth of the pharmaceutical sector, investment into R&D, and the rising diagnostic centers in India are all boosting the demand for laboratory products. COVID pandemic has acted as a catalyst for growing demand for research, academia, pharma, diagnostics, and healthcare-related sectors. With the increasing focus on the pharmaceutical and biotech sectors, healthcare research and development initiatives, and extensive clinical trials, the end user is anticipated to witness a robust growth. Speaking on the financial performance, in H1 FY23, our revenues stood at 140 crores compared to 145 crores in H1 FY22, which is a degrowth of 3.8% year-on-year. As mentioned in our previous calls, the dip in revenues was on account of the high share of COVID-related revenues in the first half of FY22 due to the ongoing pandemic and demand for related products and consumables. This had an impact on our conventional business, which is non-COVID-related products, due to intermittent lockdowns across the country. If we compare on a like-to-like basis, after negating the impact of higher share of COVID-related revenues, our conventional business has shown a substantial growth for quarter two and first half of FY23. Having said that, the demand scenario remains robust, and we expect our revenues to grow owing to the demand for our conventional business products from multiple end user industries we cater to. With continuous addition to new products and SKUs we envisage, we will be able to increase our market share in the domestic market. We are also enhancing our focus on the export markets to tap the enormous potential of the export business by delivering our best-in-class products. The export market for our products is estimated at an approximate 50,000 crores, and we are just like a drop in the ocean. We have been showcasing our products on the global platforms through multiple channels, and we have been receiving very positive response. We have participated in various fairs and exhibitions in the global markets to showcase our capabilities and have been receiving regular inquiries. Owing to this, our export revenue has grown by 11% YOY in the quarter two FY23 and is now contributing to about 38% of our total revenue. We would be investing more time and efforts to increase our revenue share from the exports, which will be an important driver of growth going forward. With our dedicated efforts with the right products of global standards and the trust and the brand created for our products, we are confident of gaining market share in the international markets. On gross margins, Q2 FY23 GP margin stood at 77% as compared to 79% in Q2 FY22. This dip is majorly attributable to change in product mix, inflationary environment, disruptions in the supply chain on account of geopolitical tensions across the globe had an impact on our raw material cost, freight cost, and other input costs have been putting pressure on our GP margins. On the EBITDA front, we have been constantly investing in manpower in various areas of sales generation, marketing, production, and other important functions which have led to increased employee cost. We have also been investing in manpower for our upcoming facilities, for which the revenues will start coming in from the next financial year. We are taking various initiatives and investing in improving the cost efficiency of our manufacturing process. This includes cost rationalization and efficiency improvement strategies such as investment in advanced automation solutions to avoid human error, enhance throughput, and increase the productivity of our manufacturing operations. Along with operating leverage, productivity enhancement and automation will help us increase our margins going forward. We have a few ongoing capital expenditure programs for the next phase of growth, and the entire capital expenditure is expected to be completed by Q2 of FY24. The new Panchala facility will allow us to cater to a completely new product segment for Tarsans, such as bioprocess and cell culture. We entered this segment because the Indian cell culture market was developing and is entirely catered by multinational players. We've been in the plastic glassware industry for the last 4 decades, and with the right quality products, we are optimistic of gaining market share in the new product category as well. Along with the revenue growth, we are focusing on improving our operational strength, for which we are developing a fulfillment center in Aumta, West Bengal, to consolidate our warehouse operations at a single centralized location in order to better manage our inventories and achieve cost synergies. In order to reduce our reliance on third-party companies for sterilization of our products, we are developing an in-house sterilization plant for captive consumption. Before handing over the call to Santosh, I'd like to mention that we are seeing growth from both the existing and new business. The Indian plastic labware market is still maturing and growing at a healthy rate. We, being one of the industry's dominant players in India, will undoubtedly capitalize on this opportunity. Along with the domestic market, we see immense potential for our products globally, and with the addition of new range of products and with our upcoming facility, we are well placed to cater the growing needs of the plastic labware market globally. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO for Tarsans, for his comments on the operational and financial highlights.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q2 FY23 earnings call. On the revenue front, revenue from operations for Q2 FY23 stood at 71.2 crore as compared to 76 crore in Q2 FY22, a degrowth of 6% on YoY basis. For H1 FY23, revenue from operations for H1 FY23 stood at 140 crore as compared to 145 crore in H1 FY22, a degrowth of 3.7% on YoY basis. Just to reiterate what Rohan said, we had COVID-related revenues in Q2 of FY22, which are negligible in Q2 FY23. But we still maintained our revenue run rate and have grown in our conventional product range. Revenue from export stood at 27.2 crore, a growth of 11%, and domestic sales degrew by 14% to 44.5 crore on YoY basis in Q2 FY23. For H1 FY23, export stood at 47 crore, a growth of 12%, and domestic sales was 93 crore, degrew by 10% on YoY basis. For Q2 FY23, export sales contributed around 38% and domestic sales contributed around 62%. And for H1 FY23, export sales contributed around 34% and domestic sales contributed around 66%. On gross profit level, our gross profit for Q2 FY23 stood at 55 crore as compared to 60.1 crore in Q2 FY22, a degrowth of 9%. For H1 FY23, GP stood at 109 crore as compared to 117 crore in H1 FY22, a degrowth of 7%. GP margin for Q2 FY23 stood at 77% as compared to 79% in Q2 FY22, and for H1 FY23, it was 78% as against 80.5% in H1 FY22. Gross margins were impacted due to the change in product mix, higher raw material cost, freight and other ancillary costs with respect to procurement on the back of supply chain disruptions. On EBITDA level, EBITDA for Q2 FY23 stood at 33 crore as against 39 crore in Q2 FY22, a YoY de-grown of 15%. EBITDA for H1 FY23 stood at 64 crore as against 75 crore in H1 FY22, a YoY de-growth of 15%. EBITDA margin for Q2 FY23 was 46%, and for Q2 FY22, EBITDA margin stood at 50.6%, and EBITDA margin for H1 FY23 were 45.6%, and for H1 FY22, EBITDA margin stood at 51.8%. Our investment in manpower costs for future growth prospects resulted in lower EBITDA margin. Furthermore, a higher share of sales promotion, marketing, and travel expenses to access export geography had an impact on EBITDA margin. This will be compensated for once we see higher growth in our export revenue. At a PAT level, profit after tax for Q2 FY23 was 21.5 crore and Q2 FY22 at 25 crore, which indicates a de-growth of 13%. Profit after tax for H1 FY23 was 42 crore and H1 FY22 at 450 crore, which indicates a de-growth of 16%. PAT margin for Q2 FY23 stood at 30%, and for Q2 FY22 it was 32%. PAT margin for H1 FY23 stood at 30%, and for H1 FY22 it was 34.3%. On the balance sheet front, we are a zero net debt free company as on September 2022. Our receivable days stood at 75 days due to a higher share of export revenue for H1 FY23. Since we have more than 300 product range and 1,700 SKUs, we need to maintain inventory to cater to demand of our products. Our inventory days stood at 127 days approx. We have witnessed a strong cash flow generation for H1 FY23. Despite a dip in revenue, our cash flow from operations stood at 34.4 crore rupees as compared to 27.7 crore in H1 FY22. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Jaiveer Shekhawat from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you. Rohan, firstly, can you explain what's the reason behind the sequential decline in your domestic business? We understand the YoY decline because there were negligible COVID revenues, but what explains the sequential decline?
Sequentially, we have seen from quarter one, we have seen a slight increase, you know, in our revenues in quarter two. YoY, of course, you know, we've explained even in our opening speech that, you know, there was a higher level of COVID-related revenues and it's taking time for the Indian industry, you know, as a whole to bounce back. We are seeing a positive trend because if you look at non-COVID base, which was there in 2020, there's been robust growth from there onwards, and we expect further growth moving forward.
I was asking only about the domestic business. Which end user segments are you seeing more softness in demand currently? Was there any impact of the price hikes that you might have taken on the overall demand?
No, not really. I think we have taken one single price hike, and we've not taken any further price hikes after that in this financial year. Things have been pretty smooth so far. In the, I think pharma and biotech are going stronger than the rest of the segments. Diagnostic, of course, is experiencing a lot of disruptions. Although there are more players in the market, you know, the business is still, you know, not where it should be because, there's increased competition in the diagnostic space. Even the research in the government sector, we read some news of funds coming in, but things are still yet to, you know, be implemented. So pharma and biotech looks very robust, followed with CROs, and then the rest of the industry is still looking to pick up.
Understood. And my next question was on the inventory days. Now, given you already hold a significant amount of inventory and there have been correction in the RM prices, so that could likely lead to your inventory losses. So one, can you explain why you're holding this much inventory?
We are keeping 127 days of inventory approx. It includes 37 crore of raw materials, 41 crore of finished goods, 8.5 crore of traded goods, and about to be 4 crore of packing goods. So these are the raw materials we need to keep, considering the number of SKU we have and the anticipation of the new orders which we are expecting in the coming quarter. So this is the bare minimum inventory we are keeping, and we keep on doing the optimization of inventory on a regular basis. And going forward, we want to reduce this inventory on the basis of the anticipated order.
Sure. And the international market growth that has been quite encouraging. So is this coming from any new significant wins that you might have had, or is it largely from existing customers?
It's a mix, actually. I wouldn't say any significant wins, but we are trying to expand the Carson's brand to various countries. There is a lot of organic growth from our existing customers. Various geographies have been seeing increased growth, and various key geographies we are starting to win newer OEM contracts, and are also in discussion for various large OEM contracts. So the international business is very spread out. It's not related to one particular field. It's a mix of the branded business of Carson's in newer geographies, the existing branded business of Carson's, as well as new OEM wins.
Understood. And last question on the CapEx. We have seen that you've already incurred about 100 crores during the first half. So one, what will be the full year guidance, and how much of the overall 500 crore CapEx that you've guided is remaining to be incurred?
Sure. We have given a 500 crore of CapEx previously. Out of that, till now, we already incurred about to be 300 crores. And in the next 15 to 18 months, we are going to incur the remaining.
Understood. And this 300 crores already includes the 100 that you've incurred this year, right?
Absolutely.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Rishabh Parekh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Just a couple of questions. One is on the domestic market growth. 14% year-on-year degrowth was, despite taking a price hike, was surprising. Can you call out the growth in the non-COVID business numerically? I understand you say it's substantial, but can you put a number to it, please?
So it's at this point we don't have any numbers, but which I'd explained in the earlier earnings call, which was in the last quarter, we believe that about 60 odd crores of our revenue in FY22 came from COVID related business, which was between 17 to 20% of our revenues, and a majority of that came in the first half. So the remainder would be all non-COVID business.
And going forward, now that the COVID base is out of the way, for the rest of the year, what kind of range of growth are we expecting from the domestic market?
See, we are expecting the domestic market to bounce back. We've seen the growth, which is slightly slower in certain sectors, which I answered in my first question. Pharma, biotech, CROs are doing exceptionally well, but the other sectors are yet to bounce back from COVID-related business. It's important to note that India is a single country, and we are market leaders in this country. And internationally, we have the benefit of catering to close to 60, 70 countries. So you have, the benefit of using other countries when certain countries are not doing well. But we are very, very confident about the Indian growth story, and our entire investments, our entire CapEx plans are always centered around the Indian customer and the Indian scientist demand. So it's very difficult to put a timeline as to, within this quarter, whether things would bounce back or in the quarter after that. But the long-term growth story of India looks very, very promising.
And have we lost market share in any of our product lines in the domestic market over the last two quarters?
No, I don't think so. I think we are as good as the industry is, and we would our numbers would be the better performing numbers compared to our industry peers in India.
And now that the raw material price increase scenario is not as severe as it was, do you expect over the second half of the year margins to revert back to a 48 to 50% range that we've historically maintained?
So the good thing about the raw material prices is that we are not seeing significant price increases in our raw material over the last few months. But having said that, there are no significant decline in the raw material prices. So raw material prices continue to remain stable for us since these are specialized medical grade, and we cannot consider standard polypropylene or standard HDP prices as a benchmark for our raw material prices. Moving forward, I think with Pashna and Amta coming into place and scale coming in, that's when we're going to see significant improvement in our margins, because a lot of investments have been incurred 6 months, 8 months prior to these facilities coming up in people, in systems, in processes. And only with scale and these facilities coming up that we will start seeing significant improvement in margins.
And Rohan, the lock-in for our private equity investor opens on the 26th. Any conversations with them on what their strategies or what they intend to do?
No, at this point of time, there is no conversations with them on that.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Sonal Gupta from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon and thanks for taking my question. Just want to understand on exports, these would largely be dollar denominated, right?
It would be a mix. It would be largely dollar denominated, but a lot of countries in and around Europe, even outside the European Union, which are countries like, not present today, but, you know, CIS, Ukraine, are very euro denominated. And also certain countries in Africa also prefer euro, which have a strong affinity towards European nations. But if you look at Southeast Asia, Latin America, and the Americas, which is Canada and USA, yes, all US dominated.
So broadly, what is the split there, right? Like Europe and euro denominated versus?
We don't have that split readily available, but I would say maybe about 75-25.
Got it. No, so
75 in favor of the US dollar.
Got it. Where I'm coming from is that, again, I mean, like a lot of the growth seems to be more, again, currency-led, right? Like year-on-year, even the export growth and volume.
So not really. We have currency gains, which you would see in our other income. But there is a lot of, our business is also based on a lot of credits. So it's ongoing, but it is a mix of currency as well as, volume. But having said that, we did not have the possibility of increasing prices in the international market the way we increase in the domestic market. So prices have remained fairly stable internationally, and hence you see more on the volumes, and the price increase, if you could not take, was compensated by larger realizations on the weakening rupee.
Got it. And sorry, maybe you mentioned it on previous calls, but what was the price increase you've taken this year on the domestic side?
About to be 7%. We have taken the price increase in the domestic.
About 7%. And lastly, what is your, sense of what is your exposure to the diagnostics market in India? I mean, like in terms of your revenues?
So it had significantly increased during the COVID period, understandably so, because they were leading COVID testing. But approximately a fifth of our revenues in India, which is about 65 or two-thirds of our revenues. So 20% of two-thirds of our revenues would be coming in from the diagnostic space.
Sorry, 20%, 20.
20% of two-thirds of our revenues, because two-thirds of our revenues is domestic, right?
Got it. So basically 13% of the overall revenue. Right?
Yeah.
Got it. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Praveen Sahai from Edelweiss Finance. Please go ahead. Mr. Sahai?
Yeah. I was on mute. Sorry. So, hi, Rohan. So the first question is related to the mix. And as you had already said, that pharma biotech is doing well. But what I believe research and academic contribution is on the higher side. So what exactly going on there? Is there an uptick or the, from the government side or in the procurement happening?
So if you see the research sector in India is predominantly government funded or is public research. There is not so much of private research in terms of research institutes in the country, and it is predominantly fund-based or government fund-based, and there have been a lot of positive news coming in of increased government expenditure to boost research in India, and we expect the same to be implemented in the coming quarters. However, putting an exact date or timeline to that would be very difficult.
Okay. So, but the status quo is whatever the businesses they're doing, that's going on.
Absolutely. It's not that there is no business. The business is there, but we expect better and more business coming in, in the near future.
Okay. And the next thing on the, as the export has grown, faster than the domestic and the contribution has increased, what's our target to get the contribution?
So as we said, in the opening speech, that it's now become to 62-38, which was actually 68-32. So, there's a 6% movement where domestic proportion has decreased by 6% and the export proportion has increased by 6%, but I think this is because, India is taking slightly longer to, recover post the pandemic into its standard businesses. I still believe that India is a very, very strong and, growing healthcare market, growing research market for the entire industry, and Tarsus being the leader would be at the forefront to capitalize on that. So it's just a matter of time before these ratios come back into place. So unless something dramatic happens for us in the international market where we win a very, very large contract, or if there is any kind of a subsidiary play for us, I don't see these ratios being changed too much. It's just very, very temporary and short term. Where you see 60-38, I think it would spring back to its original ratios.
Okay, and related to that, margins are similar to what Ampujin are.
Can you just repeat your question? You were breaking up.
Export OEM margin, whatever the margin you are generating. So it's similar to the company level. It's a variation.
I had mentioned earlier as well in my calls, it's not about the export OEM, but it's about international business as a whole. International business as a whole, we see the gross margins because the product price realizations are lower than the domestic product price realizations because of a variety of factors such as freight, different geographies, different tax structures in different countries and different comparative advantages and pressures in different countries. So overall, the international price realizations are lower, and hence you see a slightly lower gross margin. That's one of the factors for the lower gross margins, because the proportion of international business has increased.
Okay. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have our next question from the line of Harsh from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rohan. Just a couple of questions from my side. So we have been present in the PCR segment for quite some time now. So any data points around how we are doing in this segment?
So the segment, we don't have exact data at this point on what the numbers and revenues are, but the product lines have been well accepted, and the numbers in India on the non-COVID basis are growing very, very strong. Of course, there was a huge influx of PCR products demand internationally as well as in India during COVID times, because it's a direct plastic vessel which is used for COVID testing. and for COVID research, but that having dried out, we are seeing increased demand for these PCR products, but on a different base, which is the non-COVID base.
So maybe in the non-COVID base, how much was PCR revenue in this quarter compared to last quarter?
We launched this product in COVID, right? So for us, it won't be a right statement to make, because prior to COVID, we didn't have any revenues in PCR. So PCR was developed pre-COVID, but launched and ready during COVID.
I agree that. But PCR revenue in the non-COVID segment this quarter versus Q1, will that data going to be available?
Yeah, so we don't have that readily available at this point of time, but it's on the uptrend.
Okay, yeah. And profitability in the PCR segment, would that be materially different from our liquid handling segment?
It would not be drastically different. It would be on the similar line, but it would be slightly above liquid handling, not lower.
Okay. But the per kg margin would be higher, right? Because realization is much higher.
We don't really calculate on a per kg basis. We calculate more on product SKU basis. But yeah, PCR SKUs compared to liquid handling SKUs would be slightly more profitable.
Okay. And the second question was around inventory. So inventory has increased from 82 crores to 99 crores. While I understand that there are very high number of SKUs with erratic demand and higher inventory is the norm, but why the increase from Q4 to Q2?
Inventory has been increased considering we have many orders are there in our order book, and we are also anticipating some more export orders also. So on the basis of that, we always keep on keeping about 3 to 4 months of inventory, and we always keep on doing the analysis of our inventory on the basis of anticipated orders and on the basis of whatever backlog order we have.
So just to add to Santosh, we have a lot of new product launches as well. For example, in this quarter, we are launching products which are PETG bottles, which are used for bioprocess and pharma. So these are bottles which are heavy-duty bottles consuming a lot of raw material. So when you launch a new product, you need to, we can't really anticipate that, we get orders and then we start producing. So a launch of a new product means, setting up inventory levels at a very, very high level initially, because it's product launch time. So you bring in containers of raw material, you bring in containers of packaging material, so that everything is in order. It's only after 6 months or 8 months of selling that you catch onto a trend, and that's when your supply chain department can start planning inventories accordingly.
And just to add, whenever we are receiving any kind of domestic or export order, the lead time is so short that if we don't keep the inventory, then we cannot supply on time.
Okay. So you start saving the revenue flowing from next quarter onwards. Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ashish from IIFL AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, I have joined late, so sorry if I missed this question. So on our new CapEx of 400 crores, what are the timelines? When can we see the commercial operations beginning?
So for our facility at Pachla, the construction bit is approximately 80 to 85% complete. Based on the last meeting what we had, which was 2 weeks ago, we were almost 85% complete. So the building is completely done, and now the parallel infrastructure, which is the roads and the other infrastructure around the facility, are being developed. So we expect this entire facility to be up and running in the next 2 months. In terms of the readiness of the facility and the infrastructure, then post that we would have clean room developments and equipment coming in. So we expect Pachla to be up and billing its first revenue in the next 3.5-4 months, and scaling up to full capacity to what we have planned by around Q2 of FY24, and Amta would be around the same time as well. But Amta is more on storage and radiation and less on production. So our main focus is on Pachla, which is more on output and revenue.
Okay, so you're saying by second quarter of next fiscal, the first revenues should start kicking in, right?
Not by next quarter. By, I think, Q4, we should start seeing first revenues.
Q4 of FY24?
No, Q4 of FY 2023, right? In the next 4 months. But you should see everything scaled up to what we have planned in our CapEx for Pashamylaram by Q2 of FY 2024.
Typically, so what would be the asset turns that you guys are targeting?
Sorry, could you just repeat your question, please?
The asset turns, what kind of asset turns are we targeting from this investment?
We expect somewhere in the region of 0.6-0.65.
Okay. Okay. And just a bookkeeping question. So how much time would it take for this facility to do similar margins as what we are doing currently on our existing basket?
So it all depends on the scale-up. I believe, 2.5 years to completely scale up to the capacities, what we are planning out there, because, maybe little lesser, because, even if we reach 70-75% of, you know, installed capacity, we could, you know, manage similar margins because, we'll be moving in with a lot of, newer level and more efficient automation, which would bring down our costs significantly. So, it's all about, you know, the product, the procedures are there to, you know, give us, good returns. It's all about, being able to scale up and, you know, build that sort of a market for ourselves.
Yeah. So in first half, we did 45.5% EBITDA margin. So would it be safe to assume that at least this kind of margins, we would maintain in the system and, probably, the future margins won't go below this mark?
I don't think the future margin should go below this mark. See, we are investing a lot into a company which is gonna look significantly different from where we are today, you know, from this 300 crore level. So we are investing deeply into the future and, you know, there could be some pain points, you know, in the current two, three quarters, what we might see. But the future looks very, very strong, you know, for us, for the way we are investing and for what we are envisaging for the company.
Yeah, that's helpful. Just one last question on the raw material side. So PPE, like, we are sourcing majorly from U.S. and Europe. So, is the situation better now in terms of, because all are derivatives of crude?
So see, as I said earlier, it's more medical-grade resin, so there is a reliance on crude, but there is also a reliance on demand and supply. So, if there is enough demand for the raw material and the supply is stagnated, then the pricing doesn't come down. And unfortunately, we do not see scale-up of medical-grade production of our polymers globally. So there is always, you know, a waiting period, you know, whenever you order. So hence, you need to always be very vigilant with our orders and maintain sufficient inventory so that, you know, we don't fail on deliveries to our customers. And hence, we see slowing down on price increases, but we never see price reductions. That's a very rare situation, that, you know, prices start falling down. And sometimes when price starts falling down as well, you see the rupee weakening, right? So it's always higher realizations for us when we buy the product, with the dollar consistently getting stronger by the day.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. And just in case, okay, no. So I'm done. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Ashutosh Garud from Ambit Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to ask, since we mentioned about the COVID base impacting the revenue growth, so is there some more COVID base impact for Q3 and Q4 as well? Because even in Q3 and Q4 of last year, last year's financial year, you had a decent revenue base. So just wanted to understand that.
I feel the majority of the COVID revenues last year came in the first half, and we would not consider more than 20, maximum 25% of that entire COVID-related revenue, what we had taken last year in Q3 and Q4. So the major impact was in Q1 and Q2, because that's when the lockdowns were and the second wave was and, you know, the higher demand was.
Okay, so 80% of it is behind, is what I believe in that case.
75%-80% is behind, yeah.
Great. And just on the margin front, I just wanted to understand, you mentioned 40, in the medium to long term, 45-46% is margins are sustainable. In the near term, you are saying there could be some pain point, but over 3 to 5 years, you are confident of maintaining these margins. Is this interpretation right?
See, absolutely. See, today, you know, we have to be, you know, we have to be wary about our margins, but we are trying to, you know, build, as we build these two new facilities, as we look to scale up in the international markets and become a stronger brand in the country, we might look to boost our leadership team. We might look to, you know, get, you know, various organizations or, you know, companies on board to help improve our processes, our systems, our operations, and all that is all cost. So we are doing that for the long-term stability of our business and, you know, to make it a more robust brand and company than what it is today. So while we have one eye on our margins, but we won't look at it too seriously if we have to do something for the betterment of the company for the long term.
So just to understand from a business angle, we are trying to consolidate from an investment angle at this juncture, and we would typically see the fruits from a growth angle in the next 3 to 4 quarters.
Absolutely. See, I would be worried about my margins if I have to drop prices to compete with competition and if, you know, my price realizations are going down. But if my price realizations are on track and I'm just investing for the future, then I would, you know, look at a more long-term view.
But in the near term, I mean, since we have seen your margins being at around 40% also in FY19-20, so to say, so in the near term, we can touch those kind of margins, but eventually they will come up to 45-46%.
I won't be commenting on that because I don't expect, I hope that the margins don't go that low. I don't expect it even, you know, with all these investments to go that low because the company was smaller than the company scaling up and becoming bigger. So, you know, a big factor would be on the revenues. As the revenues keep coming in, I think margins will get more and more robust.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Santosh from Shivansh Holdings LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. I have a small question. I just want to understand what is the percentage contribution from the various sectors we have, like in a descending order. Can you let me know that from academic, pharma and all, what is the highest contribution for us? Which sector?
So basically pharma and biotech are the highest contributors at about probably, you know, we believe at around 30-35% of our revenue, followed by 25% each, or, you know, 20% each, approximately from diagnostics and research, and then you know, schools, colleges, other industries, hospitals, CROs would probably account for the remainder 20-25%. That's the standard you know, revenue mix what we have seen over the years. Of course, it keeps changing depending on how which industry is doing well at a particular period of time. Of course, these are indicative statements because we do most of our business through distribution partners, and having identical end customer data is, you know, not in our scope at this point of time because we do, you know, we are basically billing to distribution more than 95% of our revenue.
Okay, got it. And the second question is that I just want to understand what will be your market share, domestic market share. For example, if I look into your presentation FY20 numbers or Indian lab there and all this, it comes around 3,600 crores. And FY22 will be around 300 crore. It comes around 5%. For example, if I take only domestic. So, what is your domestic market share? And also, I was saying that, for example, if we are around 5-6%, so the remaining are, like, they were just saying that around 20-30 players who have small percentage, or there are big players who has a higher contribution to the remaining market share.
I'm not sure about the data because the plastic lab the market is approximately 1,200 odd crores, and
if you take that,
our addressable market is.
Sorry. So if you take only plasticware, which is in the presentation, 1,200 crores, we did around 200 crores of revenue domestic in FY22. So around 15% market share we have. So remaining competitors and all, you are saying there if you can let me know that there are like 10-15 people who have small market share, or there are few big people who have major market share kind of, you know.
I think another 5 to 6 major players, and then 10 to 15 smaller players after that.
And in our previous all earning calls, we clarified that out of 1,200 crore, our addressable market is 650 crore rupees. So we have done 200 out of that 650 crore. So actually, we have 25% market share.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. So, and final question, I just want to understand our raw material, which is our integral part, and a lot of thought goes into it. So what is so unique about the resin that only we have to procure from US and Europe? Like, is, for example, if I take a hypothetical situation that if, so what are the constraints, for example, is the capital or the natural resources or technology, which is like why it can't be produced domestically? But if you take hypothetical situation, just want to understand.
So basically, a lot of that is confidential in nature, as well as R&D department does a lot of research on what would be the right selection and what would be the right ingredients which are required for a particular raw material grade to be used to produce a particular SKU or a particular product group. And when we look for similar characteristics, we don't find a similar grade or raw material in India or in Southeast Asia or Middle East, and the closest where we find is in Europe or the US.
Okay.
So we haven't gone into so much of research as to why India does not produce that, but unfortunately those grades are not available, and that's only available in the US and Europe.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you so much for answering the question. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Tanmay Gandhi from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So my question is on domestic front, domestic business. So if you look at sequential growth, it's negative 8%, right? And during the last call, we had highlighted that we have taken price hikes, which will be realized in coming quarters. So my question is that whether have we realized the full impact of the price hikes, or we expect some impact to come in next few quarters as well?
No, I think there could be certain impact because, as I mentioned in my earlier calls, that we can't just announce a price hike and get it from day one. There are various contracts. You know, sometimes you can't, get 100% of the price hike. Sometimes contracts are ending on a certain period, and customers, you have a long-term relationship with customers. They're large customers. They're important customers to the company, and, you need to bite the bullet sometimes, wait for certain periods of time. So it's a mix. There's no right or wrong answer out here. But I believe over quarter three, quarter four, maybe even next year, quarter one, you would keep seeing certain, implementations made which could not have been made in these first two quarters.
Okay, so basically the price hikes will play out till first quarter of next year. Is that understanding?
It all depends on, the agreement what we have in place with the customer and when that agreement is ending. And at the end of the day, we have to, keep in mind the interests of our large customers as well, and keep in mind the interests of long-term business relationships as well as the agreements what we've had over the years. So many of these customers are two decades, three decade old customers.
Understood. And for diagnostics, we have mentioned that, there's a lot of competition and, so that should actually be helping a company like Grasson, right? Because they would not be able to procure from MNCs, which because of their, smaller scale in the beginning, and probably once they ramp up, then actually the supply base for them increases. But initially, it should be benefiting a company like Transense, right?
I think I would say both ways, because with the increased amount of competition, we see a lot of diagnostic companies also trying to cut a lot of cost, and that would not play very favorably because they're looking for lower priced alternatives. Whether that would be a working alternative or not, only time will tell. But the diagnostic industry is definitely seeing a lot of pressure to, cut costs at this point of time.
So basically, the consumption at the in the diagnostic industry would be stable, right? But probably they are procuring more from smaller competitors, which probably would have lower quality, lower cost products. Is that right?
No, I think the consumption in the diagnostic industry would be more spread out now. As an industry overall, it would be stable. But we still see numbers lower than what it was pre-COVID. There was a big spike during COVID, understandably so, but the numbers have not returned back. I think for standard testing, which was beyond COVID testing, the numbers are still not the same. Of course, it's spread out from a few players to many more players, but it's still not in the same level or the same volumes as an industry, not only for Tarsans, but at an industry level for all the companies available as suppliers to the diagnostic industry in the plastic segment.
Understood. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Harsh from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Rohan. Just follow up on asset turns. So our current asset turns are around 0.75 to 0.8. However, in the Pantla facility, why do they drop to 0.6 to 0.65?
Because there are two or three reasons. One is increased cost of capex, increased cost of infrastructure, increased cost of land, increased cost of building, everything. All costs have increased. And secondly, one of the major reasons is that we are doing capex, which would basically utilize 50 to 60% of Pashla. So to see enhanced asset turn ratios, we would have to first ensure that the future capex where 100% of Pashla's floor area space is utilized. So at this point of time, we are building Pashla, so we are spending 100% on building and infrastructure, but the capex is only occupying maybe 55 or 60% of Pashla's floor space.
Okay, sir. Both these points are maybe if we utilize 100% of capex and the cost wouldn't have gone up, then the asset turn would have been more like 0.75 to 0.8.
No, absolutely. For example, we are doing some capacity expansions and we are spending 2 million euros on multiplying certain molds and machines which we bought 15 years ago. And 15 years ago, the euro used to be at 32 and now the euro is at 82. So, and that 2 million euros over the years, over 15 years has become 3.5 million euros. So, the same machine where we are doing capacity expansion is giving us the same output. The old machine is giving us the same output as the new machine, but the cost of acquiring that, the machines in a 15-year period are drastically different.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Apurva from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, Rohan and Santosh, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, two things. So I just want to understand the seasonality. So in H1, we did almost 140 crores of revenue. So H2 would be a similar line because the historical number indicates that both are roughly equal. So what is your sense in the current year?
See, generally, ideally, Q4 is the strongest quarter and hence, it's not that Q1, Q2, Q3 are drastically different, but Q4 is definitely stronger than the rest. And hence, there's a slight variation, right? So it should be, on an ideal situation, 42 to 44% Q1 and the remainder in Q2. So not a huge difference, but yeah, I would say 42, 58, 43, 57 in that range would be an ideal year.
Okay, got it. And I think in last call we mentioned that we are on track to achieve 500 crores by FY25. So despite of this COVID-led and maybe that was not anticipated in the like this year. So do we still stand that revenue guidance or would that be any change in that guidance?
See, it's too early to say whether we would stand or there would be any change. See, what we can do as a company is we can prepare ourselves and have everything in order to reach those numbers, but there must be support from the industry as well. So, if the industry grows the way it has always grown over the last four and a half decades when we've been present, I don't see any reason that we don't achieve. But if something drastically goes upward or downward, then, the guidance could be higher or lower, So, at this point of time, we stick to that because we don't see any, big threat or the industry not playing up, to those numbers because we are as well as the industry. We are a supplier to these industries, which is pharma, biotech, diagnostics, research, and, we are as good as how these industries do.
Got it. And one more thing, that's just a clarity. So, is it possible for us to give a volume sense? Because I think because of this COVID-led and maybe domestic and export and percentage revenue growth, that gives some sort of a confusion in our mind. So, is it possible to say revenue? I can understand we have high number of SKUs, but from a category point of view, okay, what is the overall volume growth for particular categories or set of categories? So that would give a more clarity on incremental basis as well. So is it possible for us?
No, we won't be in a position to share that. Industry is quite competitive, and that would be, you know, sending out confidential data, which would be for the rest of the industry to, you know, witness. So all we can give is revenues and geographical mix between India and the rest of the world, but giving product volumes based on categories or product lines would be highly sensitive in nature.
Got it. And lastly, like some participant asked about the market share. So, what would be our market share in the H1 versus, if you can highlight, in FY22 or FY21 and for the domestic market?
So I believe that the market share has not changed dramatically, because as I mentioned earlier as well, I don't see a position where we are losing market. We are performing exactly as per market standards, and if our number has come down slightly, so is the market. You know, the domestic market also looks slightly depressed. So the numbers in the domestic market have also come down slightly drastically in the total market size. So I believe percentage-wise, we are on track. We are performing as well as the industry is performing, and we are one of the better performers in the industry. That's my belief. So no question of us losing any market share. It's just that the industry, especially the Indian industry as a whole, is taking time to recover post the pandemic, and we should see, you know, enhanced demand and, you know, numbers coming in over the next few quarters.
Okay. I have one more question. Shall I ask?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So for the export, so I think this quarter we did almost 38% of total revenue as export. So was that because of some one-off number, or maybe some particular segment is contributing, either ODM or our brand or something like that? Can you just clarify it?
No, as I've said earlier, it's just that it looks stronger at 38% because the domestic revenues are down, right? Once domestic revenues are back on track, the number as a whole would remain the same in exports, but the proportion would again go back somewhere to 34% or 33%, you know, 67%, 33%, 68%, 32%, something like that. So domestic not doing well is just showing exports to have a higher proportion.
Just to add, if you see the Q2 number, then export is showing 38%, but when you see the H1 number, it is 34%. So we need to see the longer horizon rather than shorter horizon.
Rohan, I got it, but the point is, in export, we are not able to take that price increase, what, 7% that we took in the domestic market.
Right.
Once that is taken, then probably that number would change again, right? That would in favor of export market, right? Because not in H1, but maybe in H2 or maybe early next year, we would again take price increase in the export market. So that would again balance it out with the volume increase. So maybe that 33%-34% kind of export number, which we were doing earlier, so that would move up gradually, right? Because this number is, that is without increase in price increase in export market.
See, the thing is, the entire international markets, you know, especially the larger distributors, which account for major of our business, are well aware of the economy and the situation, right? And the weakening rupee to the dollar. So it's not easy to get a dollar increase when they are already seeing that there is a 3% to 4% or 5%, you know, rupee to dollar movement, you know, over the year. So, it's very difficult to get whole year price increases in international market. At best, we get 1%, 1.5% on selected years. The market is much more competitive. We are a newer entrant. In India, the situation is very different. We are more of a leading player with a very, very strong brand image and a brand recall value. So the strategies domestically and internationally are very, very different.
Okay. So is it fair to conclude in export market, whatever price realization we are getting, that should be correlated with the rupee movement, right? Is it fair?
Not really. Not really. A rupee movement is, you know, an added bonus to us when the rupee is getting weaker. If the rupee is getting stronger, then it's, you know, a disadvantage to us. But generally, even if the rupee is stable, getting increase, you know, in product in international markets needs to be justified by a very, very strong rationale, and sometimes increasing raw material costs may not be enough, because there could be other companies willing to bite the bullet. And since we are a newer entrant, it becomes very difficult for us to, you know, command certain things which we could in the Indian market.
Got it. Thank you very much, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kartik Vora from Union Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. This is Hardik here.
No, I just wanted to clarify this. I don't know if it was already discussed on the call. We had a guidance of 500 crores of revenue by FY25 with 45%-50% EBITDA margin. You are retaining that guidance, right?
See, at this point of time, yes, but we'll take a call, you know, as the quarters move ahead. But at this point of time, I don't see any reason why we should not be able to achieve that.
Okay. I just wanted to follow up on this. So Rohan, what gives us this confidence? I wanted to get a sense on that, because you're putting up this Pachwa capacity in FY24, and the confidence we have is that by in a year's time, we will be able to utilize it optimally. So, is it the order visibility, maybe the customers are telling us what we have? Can you just throw some light on what gives you the confidence of utilizing this capacity?
So, we are building in two kinds of products, right? One is capacity expansion for existing products, and one is newer product lines. And we see that, you know, the markets have not really fully recovered from the COVID period. So it's this entire journey from 300 to 500 crores is not only going to be consumed by new products, which are going to be tougher to sell in the first years as we are trying to prove ourselves in those products. A lot of it will come from organic growth of existing product lines, as well as capacity expansions, as well as newer geographies tapped in the international market, as well, and as well as newer products in the domestic market. Because newer product acceptance in the domestic market is gonna be far quicker than newer product acceptance in the international market. So it's a combination of factors which would play out for us to help achieve this number.
Okay. And this
Guidance from our customers or orders in hand, that's not the way our industry works. So we do not generally receive orders before we start any product lines, or we don't have any order book as such. The order book is always for products which we are unable to deliver, which is pending orders.
Understood. And this 500, how would it be split between domestic and exports, in your opinion?
I believe the two-thirds, one-third should look likely. So, maybe about 65%, 66% coming domestically and the rest coming from international business.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Sehgal for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining the call. We will keep updating the investor community on regular basis for incremental updates on your company. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us or Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relation advisors. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Edelweiss Finance, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.